Hey, Happy New Year. Are you ready to make it your best year yet? You know, the cool thing is you can just decide today. You don't have to wait and see. When we wait and see, there's a tendency to focus on the bad things and evaluate it by them. But when we just decide, you can decide today's going to be a good day, and it will be. You can decide it's going to be a good week. You can decide it's going to be a good year. You don't have to wait and see. Wasn't last week's message amazing? Now, I can say that because I didn't preach it. It's Louis Giglio's How Great Is Our God. And the cool thing is, well, the reason we do that is we don't just pull messages out of the file. So we create a new message every week. And it's not just so that we can celebrate Christmas with our families, but it's an opportunity to have some of the best speakers in the world come for free. I think that's a good deal. Do you like that? I need to know that you're here. So breathe or something. The other thing is that I'm aware that in this, the way churches are done these days, you very well may be called somewhere to go somewhere that has a video campus. And so we give you video messages every once in a while to recognize that God can speak through that medium. And when we come, we don't come to interact with the person here. We come to interact with God. So when we come, we're seeking God. And by the way, if you're here for the first time, welcome. I'm so glad you're starting the new year out and you've chosen to come to Thunder Mountain. And we're people that when we gather, we expect to have an encounter with the living God. And we want to hear something from him. None of us have arrived. We all have a past. And we believe we all have a next step. And so we come, we seek God, and we believe he's going to show us a next step. He doesn't need to show us 10 steps. We just want the next one. And so last week I thought it was so cool how Louis portrayed God as so infinitely large that we can't fathom him, and yet we are so small. Have you ever felt so small and significant? I don't know how those go together, but it has to do with who God is. And the other part of God, he's not only infinitely large, he's infinitely small. That your DNA, before anyone knew there was DNA, God was knitting it together. The DNA that can go to the moon and back, how many times did he say? God knows not only every strand, but every character. The purpose of this message is to help us prepare to make this our best year yet. Like I said, we can just decide. And I believe that's God's will. I don't believe he says, oh, let's just take this year off and wait for next year. No, this year is going to be the best year yet because we're alive. I almost said if you're alive. Because you're alive, God still has a purpose for your life. And it's so fun to be able to experience life at you know, this is the age I am now. I'll tell you, when I was in personal evangelism class in Bible college, I was asked, when is a pastor in his prime? And I just picked two numbers. I'm not saying they were inspired by God, but I said 35 to 55. So in my mind, for 20 years, I was expecting to be winding down at 55. And yet what I'm finding is, at 56, my best years are yet to come. And I believe that's the way God works with all of us. That when we think there's nothing left that he can do with us, he surprises us and he shows us that there's more. And that's true just because you're alive. Because when God is done with you, then you die. You're dead. And who wants to outlive God's purposes? So God has given us 2018. You're alive and there's something significant for you to do. You know, when the new year rolls around, it reminds me of something kind of odd. Do you know why we miss checkbooks? Because that was the only practice that we used to get for writing the new year. So I don't know where we get practice of writing the new year anymore, but it is 2018. I guess we have to say it. 2018. Some of us know new people who were born in 1918 or before, so it's kind of odd to see these years roll around. But what a great year 2017 was. I just want to take a moment to celebrate. Our theme was rise up, and boy, did we. God lifted us up. We rose up because we didn't want to just go through life in a mediocre existence. We wanted to take hold of that for which God had created us. And so when we talk about what 2017 was, we talk about what we do as a church. We're reaching out, we're touching lives and growing people to know, love, and serve Jesus. Something we don't talk about enough is that we affect the population in two places. Because of what God does through us, there become more and more people in heaven. The population in heaven increases. And you know what's cool about that? It's a sobering thought, But every time the population of heaven increases one, what happens to the population of hell? The sign at the city limits, "Welcome to hell." They always have to keep erasing it and decreasing the population. I think that's so cool. By the way, it's in the Midwest where they put population on those signs. Out in the West, they put elevation. So I actually have seen signs that have population. So when we look at how we reached out, there were 22 first-time decisions last year. 22 people were bound for one direction and decided that they're going to let Jesus create a mansion for them in heaven, and that's exciting. 24 people, go ahead and applaud that. Of course, we're never satisfied, but we're going to celebrate because we want more than that in 2018. There are 24, and these are just the ones that reported on the cards that dropped in the box. There are 24 who made recommitments that had been following Jesus, decided not to follow Jesus, and then had an encounter with him with us. And maybe it was with an encounter with one of you, or just sensing the presence of God and hearing that next step, they decided, I'm going to follow Jesus. Enough of the silliness. There were 30 baptisms, 30 times people went down into the water, and thank God. So 30 times people went down into the water, and thank God there also were 30 who came back up. When we reach out, we have what we call strategic partners, and they are people in different places or in different ministry areas that help us reach out, touch lives, and grow people to know, love, and serve Jesus. They're places that we can't go, and they do things that better than we can do them. And we've added two local strategic partners. One is Lori's Place, and you'll remember Lori's Place because it was last Christmas of 16, that you guys really laid it out in our Christmas offering. 2016, well, let me tell you what Lori's Place does. They're a center that provides help for those who have suffered assault, rape, abuse, or have been human trafficked. Yes, that goes on in our town. It's a place of refuge. It's a place that does exams and forensic interviews that stand up under the scrutiny of the court. Sometimes someone is let off because the exam or the interview wasn't done properly. Lori's Place does it right, and so we support them. But in 2016, they were hanging by a thread. And your gift that year put them in a new place. And then others came along, and now they're in a solid place, and they're an official local strategic partner. Another is Peach's Pantry. You supported them through our Easter offering. And what they do is they feed public school children by giving them food to take home on the weekends, kids who otherwise might not have anything to eat. So you're making a difference. Overall, there was $116,000 of your giving that was invested in outreach. That was 12.1% of the total. And so what a thrill it is to reach out and to go places and touch the lives of people who aren't coming to us. Touching lives, on the other hand, is the impact we have when people set foot on our campus. One of the things that we did, we weren't able to do Project Serve this year, in 2017, like the last 2 years. It's on the calendar again this year, but we were limited in our staffing and our ability to do that. But what people did instead is they took on a project of a home of a single mother, of a large family, a home that needed a lot of help. And right now, this winter, instead of having to set her thermostat in the 50s, imagine that with small children, with 50 degrees thermostat. Now their home is warm, it's better insulated. They actually had to open a window the other day that it was so warm. That's never happened for them in this. So this is cool, the way people found a way and we were able to make a difference in a significant way. There's $14,600 invested in benevolence and counseling referrals. We call that urgent care. When people have an urgent need, we want to be able to respond. And the reason the church is able to do it better than the government is that we have no political agenda and we have a relationship. Money assistance flows through relationship a whole lot better than it does in politics. I believe that's the way God intended for things to work. And so there was great help that we were able to provide, and I'm thankful for that because of the ways that you gave. We not only reach out and touch lives, but we grow people. Of our average adult weekend attendance, now 40% is now in a connect group where they meet together and challenge one another, encourage one another, and care for one another. We are growing in prayer. The last First Tuesday prayer, there were 33 people, which is about triple of what it was at the start of the year. It's so cool to see because we believe that when we pray, God works. We can work and we can accomplish things, and God works through people. But when we pray, God does more than we can ask or imagine. And that is the single area that when I look at my leadership, the way that I wish I had and could lead better would be to bring that devotion to prayer to our church. And what we're doing is, today we're going to be recognizing and thanking a couple elders who are rotating out after their three-year terms. And one of them is stepping into the role of prayer coordinator, Dave Gibbs. He's got such a passion for God and for prayer. And even before he's an elder, I had him on a prayer card saying, God, let his passion for you be contagious. And I'm so excited. And this is the second time that an elder has rotated off into a staff role. Dave is going to be in a volunteer staff role, and I'm excited about that. When we talk about growing people, we're going to talk about exercising faith through giving financially. Last year, 102 people were what we call first-time givers, meaning they had never contributed financially to this church before. You know why that's significant? Two reasons. Maybe they never contributed to any church before, but it was certainly the first time they contributed here. And what that means is they're not only taking a step of faith to trust God, but they trust us. We don't take anything for granted. There are a million nonprofits that people could invest in, and yet every day we get up to work hard to make this the best place to invest a life-changing dollar. And 102 people took that step of faith in confidence in not only God, but us, and that's really cool. 11 people took the tithe challenge in November. It means for the first time, they're trusting God with giving a portion of their income that they thought was impossible, and means that they're experiencing God opening the floodgates of heaven and experiencing his love and his power and his provision in ways they haven't experienced before. That's so cool. And then there was the Christmas offering. Want to know the results? You guys knocked it out of the park again. We said that we wanted to give to CareNet so that they could provide their message for the community that would reach beyond the church, so that they would be able to care not only for the baby, but express love and compassion and good news for the mom and the dad who found themselves in a pregnancy that they would consider a crisis. And you fully funded their new website, $7,000. It's going to get done. And not only that, but Pastor Alex, I'm not supposed to say his name in our recordings because he lives in a very dangerous part of the Philippines. So Pastor A in the Philippines has been needing a vehicle to get through these impassable roads to churches like the Church of the Garbage Pit, the church in different places. And so you not only gave enough to do that, but people designated money for that. And so we were able to not only provide him with a vehicle, maybe even better than he was expecting, but we also provided about $10,000 for timely disaster relief that the love of God is going to be able to flow through the church in the Philippines to his community. And what he said is, words could not truly express our gratitude for such kindness. Your brethren over there are such generous givers. Please extend our heartfelt thanks, especially to those who gave out sacrificially. May the Lord reward them tremendously for such great love for the work of the Lord. Give yourself a hand. Because you finished 2017 with a bang, and it's still reverberating here and around the world. What would it take for 2018 to be your best year yet? What would you hope the new year brings? The other day, I was listening to someone who was just recounting all the bad things that happened in 2017. It wasn't someone from this church, so I'm not outing anybody, but it was just one bad thing after another, and it just was apparent to me how once we start seeing the bad things, we connect them, and they just grow and grow and grow. And when we look ahead, we have an opportunity to make this year great. A few years back, I was in Tucson at a Wendy's restaurant, and a stranger approached and asked me and the guy I was with if we wrote our goals down. And I said, no, I know I should, but I haven't yet. And went on to tell me a story about a Harvard graduating class where 3% of the class wrote down their goals and how they accomplished over a period of time so much more than the other 97%. It was so moving that 10 years later, I began to write my goals. Maybe even longer. But now with the internet, I look up that story and I find out that it's fake. But it was still motivating whether it was real or not. But now, and for years, the staff and elders, we create what we call our personal growth plans. And I'll blog about this to show the format that follows, because you might want to do that. But we write our goals down. And because the things that we write down, and when you write down your goals and you make them part of your prayer list, they tend to happen. The ones that, and things that we accomplish, we wouldn't have accomplished if we hadn't put it on a target and prayed about it. Because the thing is, and we're going to see in the message today, good things just don't happen by chance. We can get into trouble by chance. We can drift into trouble, but we don't drift into great things the same as easily. And another thing that we started to do, because, you know, New Year's resolutions for a lot of people, when they're young, you try them out, and then you realize that all that list was of the things I wasn't going to do, and a reminder of failure. So some people at some point just trash resolutions. That's why I think goals are more effective. But if that big, long list of goals is overwhelming, some of us have started doing what we just call our one word for the year. I got this idea from a podcast a few years ago, and somebody challenged me to do it, and I did. And so the things the staff are considering are words like wisdom and joy and thanksgiving, passion, contentment, gratitude. And, you know, it becomes like a theme. You know what a theme does? A theme is like a frame around a painting. When you have the right frame around a picture, what's it do for that picture? It causes certain colors to pop. And there are things in that picture that stand out when you frame it right. Things that would have been overlooked and unnoticed come to the front. And so when you and I, by selecting a theme, and a one-word theme is so simple, it can become the frame around the year. And whatever it is, it can cause that characteristic of God to really pop. In 2016, my word was courage. Because someone challenged me, said, Randy, unless you have the courage to disappoint people, you're never going to finish your messages any earlier than they are. And almost monthly, I hear people talk about how God has grown me as a communicator, and a lot of it came from that word in 2016 and a friend who challenged me to have the courage to make teaching a higher priority and not worry about disappointing people as much. And last year, it was security. I still needed a ways to go, but the security, I made my word last year security, because the feelings of insecurity I knew were counter to what I knew the Word of God taught. So I needed to pursue that and to really make security a priority for 2017. In 2018, my word is going to be rest, because there's a tendency, and when I came out of cancer, there was a reality that I might not be here very long. And so I wanted to work hard and get the church ready to live without me. And now it looks like I'm going to be around for a while. So I need to maybe throttle back a little bit. And I think the staff and my wife would appreciate that. And so 2018, my word's going to be rest. Not laziness, but just rest in the Lord and make my own Sabbath a higher priority. But what one word could make the biggest difference in your life in 2018? It could be one word. One word can make the biggest difference. One word could be the key to making 2018 your best year yet. Now, to make 2018 your best year yet requires a relentless pursuit of the Spirit of God. It's not something you're going to be able to do on your own. In fact, what we're going to look at through this series this week and the next four are going to be characteristics of the Spirit, characteristics of God, qualities of God that He, His Spirit, will bring into our lives. And any one of those characteristics might be your word. And at the end of the series, we're going to give you something to write that word on and carry it with you through the rest of the year. I'm excited about that. Our word for the church, our theme for the church this year is relentless. Last year it was rise up. This year it's relentless. And as the staff and elders were wrestling with what should the theme be for 2018, we got the idea of overcoming and loving people and not being turned off or turned away or discouraged by when our attempts to love are met with resistance or they're not easy or it becomes hard. We know 2018 is going to have challenges. Jesus said that in the world, things are hard, but He's overcome the world. And He did that with a relentless commitment to His Father, to the will of God. And so we settled on relentless because your best year yet won't just happen. We need to be relentless in pursuing the Spirit of God. And when bad things happen, we don't throw up our minds and say, see, I knew it wouldn't work. We just get tougher and more relentless. We don't give up. We press through. But a relentless pursuit of the Spirit will require two actions by every one of us. Because there are two things the text today in Galatians says are true about every one of us. The first action that it's going to require is that we're going to have to fight against the sinful nature. The scripture says that there are two forces constantly fighting each other. And two forces are constantly fighting each other in and through you. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Now, you can see desires, two opposite desires in there. One is that there's a sinful nature that you and I possess. It is why we needed a Savior. It was why our destination was hell until Jesus saved us. And if you have not yet accepted Jesus, if you're at your faith journey are not at that point to say, I'm going to follow Jesus, this is what you want to move away from because you need the Spirit of God to overcome it. The Spirit of God is the only power that will cause you and I to not be obligated to the sinful nature. The sinful nature has desires, and the Spirit gives us desires, and they are polar opposites of each other. The difficulty is this causes a lot of stress and confusion in people because they don't know which set of desires define them. Some people think, man, I said I'd follow Jesus, but yet I still have these desires over here. What's wrong with me? The scripture says that what's wrong with you is you have a sinful nature, which is why you needed a Savior. And so that sinful nature, those desires will ever be present. But Jesus came to overcome the world, and Jesus came to defeat evil and to set us free. So on one hand, though, in this, when I was teaching at Buena, a fellow math teacher said, hey, would you like to watch this video? It was down the rabbit hole. And this was not a Christ follower. He had a different worldview. And so out of respect for him, I watched his video. One of the cool things about it was, it says scientists think that there's a spiritual dimension out there that they just can't find. And they think the spiritual dimension is reality and that the physical world is temporary. Where'd that idea come from? Maybe they should look and find it in the Bible. But what was really dangerous about this video, it says that every one of us has desires, which the Bible says is your sinful nature. But what the video said was that these desires, pay attention to these desires, because when they bubble up, they reveal who you really are. And you owe it to yourself to act on them to really be true to yourself. Now, one day, the students had organized this one special day, Awareness Day, which prompted a lot of conversations through the day. And I asked them a very similar question, but they gave me a very different answer because they were telling me that. And I said, would you agree that you should not do everything you feel like doing? And they said, of course not, Mr. Youngblood. I'd be dead or in jail. And I say, exactly. So when those desires bubble up, they're not in your best interest to pursue. You need some wisdom and discernment. And for us, we recognize where that comes from. But for people who think that Jesus is going to take away that, all those desires, it can be really confusing and stressful. Say, what's wrong with me? Nothing's wrong with you. Thank God if you've chosen to follow Christ, you have a resource to overcome those desires, as I'm going to show you in a moment. Because when you and I follow the sinful nature, here are the results. Look at that list. If you're hurting and discouraged this morning, it's probably due to something on that list. And few of us will choose those things. We don't want the consequences of those things. And when you look at that, you may say, I don't want those things. But here's the truth about temptation. Temptation is never tempting unless there's an element, a promise of pleasure. Temptation will always create a promise that you want. And that's why it's tempting. I could not get you to walk barefoot over a bed of hot coals because there would be nothing pleasurable about that. But every one of us has those elements of pleasure that we desire that promise to fulfill needs in our lives that we think God may not ever fulfill. And the truth is he just hasn't fulfilled them yet, or he has something better. But in that moment, the temptation says, hey, take this path. You can get there quicker, faster, better on your own. That's the sinful nature. And what this says is that the results are very clear. And when we go through that list, there are things on there that may be those things that trip you up. And yet, what's on the other side of temptation is reality. What temptation promises is the deception. It's a half-truth. It's a lie. And yet, the sinful nature convinces us, hey, this is the way to go. But the result is something else. For many people, those desires define them. They define themselves by those desires because they think, I can't whip this. This is who I am. Others say there's nothing there that I want. But desires are like doorways. They're gateways. It's like marijuana is a gateway drug that always leads to something worse. People say, hey, it's no big deal. But studies will show it always leads to something worse. And that's what desires are. When we follow the sinful nature, it always starts with something small, something seemingly innocent. But once we take a step in that direction, then hell breaks loose. And the reality is, you and I decide what defines us by that step that we take. Many things feel good, but cost us in ways that we don't intend. There are many people whose one words are on that list right there, but they don't have to be. Things feel good, but they cost us in ways that we don't expect. Some innocent things are sweets. You know, we just came out of a season where there are lots of cookies and sweets. Sweets taste good, but they don't lead to the health benefits that we will enjoy. Sleep always sounds good and it's appealing, but it doesn't lead to the prosperity that we desire. You know, I don't know why it was when we had small kids, we could sleep, but they wouldn't let us, and now we don't have any kids in the house and we can sleep, but wake up at 3 a.m. ready to get after. I don't know why the body does that. One of those things we can ask God someday. But you know, there are some aspects of those desires that appeal to us. And sometimes we bite the apple and we say, that's me, that's what I want. But you and I don't want to end up where those desires lead us. And the truth is that We can't take temptation at its face value. We've got to look beyond it and see what the results would be. This is the direction of drift, meaning if we don't have a plan, if we're not intentional, if we're not relentless, if we just go with the flow of the day, we're going to end up pursuing those desires because that's our default. Our default, who we were, who you were before you began to follow Jesus, is where you and I will drift unless we come up with a plan, an intentional plan, a relentless plan to go in the other direction. None of that will make 2018 your best year yet, so it has to be in a different direction. And if we want to go in a different direction, here's what it is. A relentless pursuit of the Spirit of God requires two actions. One is to fight against the sinful nature. When we recognize it, we stop and we look for the Spirit of God, because the second action is follow the leading of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The best of your life, you and I have to celebrate, are on that list. The best of our lives are right there. Those things are priceless. Those are the things that are not easy to come by. Those are the things that people, when we follow the sinful nature and we end up with the results that it leads to, we would give anything to reverse time and to pursue a different direction. And so when we look at that list, we see what the Spirit, following the Spirit of God, will produce in our lives. And these are evidence of the presence of God. When you say, how do I know that God is in me? We see these things, love and joy and those things that just kind of hang on that tree. Go ahead and put the tree picture up there. Because a good tree doesn't produce bad fruit. And a bad tree doesn't produce good fruit. Each tree is known by its own fruit. A good man produces good out of the good storeroom in his heart, and an evil man produces evil out of the evil storeroom. For what comes out of the mouth, as the mouth speaks, it's an overflow of the heart. What is on the inside comes out. And that's what defines us. But it doesn't have to. Because when we have those two competing desires fighting against each other, we can decide who we are with your very next step. So, Paul says, let the Holy Spirit be your guide, and then you won't be doing what the sinful nature craves. What's wrong with this symbol? In our culture, we think that's tolerance. We think that's goodwill. We think a lot of things we shouldn't think about that symbol. Because here's why. There does not need to be a balance between good and evil. We don't need evil to keep good in check. One will dominate the other. Jesus came not to create a balance. Jesus came to crush the head of the serpent who enticed people to forsake God and move in a different direction. One will dominate the other, and it has to be good. And Paul's writing to people who are Christ followers, when he says, since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Now look at what's said there. First of all, there's the assumption that you're a Christ follower. And since if you're a Christ follower, you are living, your desire is, you're living by the Spirit. Now, he's also told us that there are competing desires inside of you that are in the opposite direction. So it's not the only desire, but even though we have a desire to act out the sinful nature, and he showed us what the results are, which many of us know by experience, he says something else, and that there's another desire. And even though those desires are present, he says we are living by the Spirit. But what he says next is let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives, which what he states, what he implies is it's not automatic. And that's what he's been saying. We have these two competing desires. We're going to go in one direction or the other. And when a desire comes, we got to see what's beyond that, because we're not choosing the temptation. We're not choosing the initial thought. We're choosing the consequences and the result. It says, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. We want to recognize the fruit, the results, the destination of each desire that we contemplate. And that's where your one word comes in, yielding to the leading of the Spirit as he guides you and me into producing that fruit. You don't produce the fruit, but you yield to the Spirit who will. Don't be deceived. Paul said, God can't be mocked. You can't say, oh yeah, let me show you God. A man reaps what he sows eventually. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Following the desires of the sinful nature eventually will reap disaster. Do you recognize these athletes? What do they have in common? Desires chosen led to unintended consequences. Desires chosen led to unintended consequences. It wasn't a back injury that caused Tiger's demise in golf. He was obliterating all the records. He was derailed. Michael Vick may have been destined for the Hall of Fame. Lance Armstrong was amazing. But yet there were desires that each of them possessed. And you can put Barry Bonds on the list and others who had incredible talent, unrivaled giftedness. But it wasn't enough. And they were desires that were chosen that led to unintended consequences. And the same will be true for you and I, even though they may not, no one may read about it in the newspapers. But take heart that there's no temptation that's overtaken you or me that isn't common. Meaning people have encountered, everything you and I encounter, people have encountered before. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. Now, don't hear, I'm not saying God won't give me more than I can handle. That's a lie, because if you don't have more than you can handle, then your faith is withering up and dying because you don't need God. You and I must encounter more than we can handle, because we've got to be able to experience the strength of Christ who gives us the strength. But what it does say is that there's no temptation that's going to be so overwhelming that we don't have a choice. It says God is faithful. He will always provide a way out. No matter how strong the desire, no matter how convincing the lie, he says God will always provide a way of escape, so that you may endure the temptation. It's like you're in a house, it's burning, it's falling, and a fireman says, come, this is the way out. That's how the Spirit operates. And what you and I need, what we really want at that moment, even though there are competing desires that are very strong and we feel very well, the desire is to get out of that burning house. And when we follow the leading of the sinful nature, we go deeper into the burning house, and it will come crashing down. But when we listen to and desire and follow the voice of God, the Spirit will lead us out into safety. The leading of the Spirit will lead us out. We will avert disaster. And one of the prophets of God quoted him as saying this, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. To give you hope and a future. You will call upon me and you will come and you will pray and I will hear you and you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you and I really desire to find the leading of the Spirit, he will lead us out of any and all situations. And he will produce in us the fruit that we desire, the kind of legacy that you can be proud of. Not the one that will end in shame and disgrace. What do you want to be relentless in doing this year? If you want 2018 to be your best year yet, it starts by a decision, a desire to cultivate a relationship with God, because He is the one that produces the fruit we desire. What one word might God give, would give God the greatest glory in and through your life? How about this for homework? Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It's not much. Two verses. Spend some time praying through that. And then pray, begin to pray what one word God would use to make 2018 your best year yet. Because I believe it's going to be. I believe we can decide it right now. Because I believe it's the will of God, but it's going to take a relentless pursuit of the Spirit.